Well, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you here last night, a double good morning to you. We're just appreciative to have you here on this Christmas Day and would hope that you'll go away with a spirit of giving and that your heart and minds might be touched this day. Elaine Bowen is helping me today. So, and I'm intern minister Dave Clemens. So just grateful to have you here. For this 1 hour, Spirit of Life, we let go. For this 1 hour, may we let go of our anxieties, our fears, our anger, our self-doubts, our regrets, our petty grievances, and our distractions. If only for this 1 hour, let the flame of this chalice burn them from our hearts and minds and light our way to peace, serenity, for this one holy hour.
Peace means the beginning of a new world. It means that nations are friends. It means joy to the world. Peace is calm and quiet. It is rest. It is silence after a storm. It is love and friendship. It is the world's dream of dreams. Peace brings comfort and happiness. It brings bread to the hungry. It brings prosperity to the nations. It means the strong respect the weak, the great respect the small, the many, the few. It is like spring after winter. It brings sunshine into the world. It is like sweet music after harsh sounds. Our Time for All Ages story this morning is by Denise Tracy, and it is entitled Give Love. What do you want for Christmas? The father asked his daughter. She wrinkled her nose and scrunched her eyes and thought. Do you want a doll? No. A tea set? No. A pony? No, Daddy, I have to think. I want this year to be a special year, a year to remember. All right, you think and let me know. Ellen thought. She thought of bonbons, chocolate, new dresses, hats, kid boots, books, gloves, lace collars. But none of those were what she wanted. What would be really special? Each day her father asked her, Ellen, do you know what you want for Christmas yet? And Ellen would shake her head. No, Father, I'm still thinking. After 4 days, her father said, Ellen? Yes, Father, I've decided. Well, I have a riddle. It will tell you what gift I want for Christmas. The riddle is this. You cannot buy it, for it is worth all the money you have, but only you can give it. The father said, I need to repeat this riddle because it will tell me what gift you want for Christmas. I cannot buy it because it is worth all the money I have, but only I can give it. Is that right? Yes, Father, said Ellen. Well, now it is my turn to think about your riddle. I have to find the perfect present in the mystery. Her father paced and pondered. He repeated the riddle over and over again. I cannot buy it, but only I can give it. He paced and pondered. Finally, he smiled. I know what it is. I know what it is. And now he had to think how to give it. Under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, there was no present from her father. But Ellen didn't expect one. After the other gifts were opened, Ellen's father said, It is now time for Ellen's present from me. Ellen, come and sit with me. So Ellen climbed into the armchair and sat on her father's lap. My present to you is very special. I hope it is what you wanted. For it is not a book or a toy or clothes, but instead it is a present that is for all seasons and for each day. This year, your Christmas present from me is that we will spend time together every week, just the two of us. For you are my very special daughter, and I love you dearly. Ellen hugged her father. Oh, Daddy, I knew you would figure out the riddle. Her father said, you cannot buy it, for it is worth all the money you have, but only you can give it. It took me a long time to figure out the answer, but when I did, I knew what you wanted. The answer was simple. Give yourself. Oh, Father, I wanted a gift to make this year special. Time together with you will make this year the very best year of my life. Ellen looked at her father's eyes. Why, Father, you are crying. Yes, you teach me more than any book I've ever read or written. By giving you time, I will gain more than I give. It was Ellen's turn to figure out this riddle. How could her father, by spending time with her, get more than he gave? She thought she knew. Love multiplies. But perhaps she would only understand when she was older, when she had children of her own. But her father understood. And when he wrote an essay on giving, he wrote, "Give yourself," for he knew the wonder of this gift. See, Father was Ralph Waldo Emerson. And he learned the gift of giving from his daughter, Ellen Tucker Emerson.
Why not a star? They told me that when Jesus was born, a star appeared in the heavens above the place where the young child lay. When I was very young, I had no trouble believing wondrous things. I believed in the star. It was a wonderful miracle, part of a long-ago story foretelling an uncommon life. They told me a supernova appeared in the heavens and its dying burst of fire. When I was older and believed in science and reason, I believed the story of the star explained. But I found that I was unwilling to give up the star. Fitting symbol for the birth of one whose uncommon life has been long remembered. The star explained became the star understood for Buddha, for others. Why not a star? Some bright star shines somewhere in the heavens each time a child is born. Who knows what it may foretell? Who knows what uncommon life may yet again unfold? If we but give it a chance. I invite you in the short time we have together at this time in the service, something that used to be done here, which we don't do anymore because of the size of the congregation. But today I invite you, as you ponder upon a name that you might wish to utter out, is use this time to say that name aloud, and we'll include this by a prayer. So, O Great Spirit, we come this morning with grateful hearts for this day, for the celebration and the peace that we feel. We pray for those who are in need of peace this day, that they might find it in their own way. We pray for family members, for friends, for others who are in need of special blessings this day. We give thanks for this community and for an opportunity to be together, to celebrate to be a blessing to each other and to find peace. Amen.
You may have heard it before. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. It's been recorded by many artists. Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, Harry Belafonte. My favorite, Sarah McLachlan. The Carpenters, Bing Crosby, Bette Midler, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and here live by Hal Walker. What you may not know is what led Longfellow to write the poem on Christmas Day, 1864. He was famous already by that time. People knew and loved him around the country. His poems had been published and popular for almost 40 years. Longfellow and his wife had 6 children, all but one of whom survived into adulthood. They were a happy family. They enjoyed each other's company, as well as that of many famous writers who spent time at their home in Cambridge, Massachusetts. All of this was reflected in his body of work. The family had become a kind of national symbol for domestic love, the innocence of childhood, and the pleasure of material comfort. But then in 1861, everything fell apart. Henry's beloved wife, Fanny, was burned terribly in an accident, and he too was burned trying to save her. Fanny died the next day. The Civil War began that same year, filling the news and the country's minds and hearts with tragedy after tragedy, death, loss, and fear. Several years later, it was 1863, and Longfellow's eldest son, Charles, went off to join the Union Army. Charlie knew his father disapproved, but he went anyway, writing in this letter to his father saying, "I have tried to resist the temptation of going without your leave, but cannot any longer." The first Christmas after Fanny's death, Longfellow wrote, "How inexpressibly sad are all holidays." A year later, 1862, he wrote, "I can make no record of these days. Better leave them wrapped in silence. Perhaps someday God will give me peace." In 1863, Longfellow received word that his Charlie, a lieutenant in the Army of the Potomac, had been severely wounded. Longfellow rushed to Washington, fearing that this time would end badly. But Lieutenant Charles Longfellow did not die that Christmas. He recovered, went on to live a long life. In 1964, Abraham Lincoln was reelected President of the United States, and a possible end to this terrible war seemed in sight. Finally, on Christmas Day, 1864, Longfellow wrote a poem that he called Christmas Bells. It was and is a hymn, not to happiness or uncomplicated confidence, but against war and human cruelty. It is not just about Christmas. It is a hymn that sees the tragedies of life clearly, with real grief and anger, and coming through the other side with a small but growing faith.
On hymn number 20, in the hymnal on number 24 is the hymn, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." And I invite you to sing along with me as we remain seated. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth to all goodwill, from heaven the news we bring. The world
So it came upon a midnight clear in 1849, was a poem and a Christmas carol. It was actually written by Edward Sears, and Edward Sears was a Unitarian Universalist minister. And he wrote it for his small congregation in Wayland, Massachusetts. And the carol was first performed in his church. And his words are beautiful and powerful as we sing them, but the message is grounded in the first verse. It becomes prophetic in the last verse, which raises yet again the hope of a time to come of peace on earth. And it in his third verse, which I'll repeat again, is, yeah, with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angels' strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong, and man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring of hush the noise, ye man of strife, and hear the angels sing. And when Sears wrote this, its focus was not on Bethlehem or the Christ child, but on his own time in the issue of war and peace. And I believe that it has a lot of bearing to what we're going through right now. And so as you sing the song Came Upon a Midnight Clear, I would hope that in future Christmas times that you'll reflect back upon this song and look at it in a different meaning.
We've heard many times that each night a child is born is a holy night. Children have come for millennia, and they have been coming. They will always come the same way. Born of the seed of a man and a woman. No angels herald their beginnings. No prophets predict their future courses. No wise men see a star to show where to find a babe that will save mankind. Yet each night a child is born is a holy night. Sitting beside our children's cribs, we feel glory in the sight of a new life beginning. We ask, where and how will this new life end? Or will it ever end? For each night a child is born is a holy night, a time for singing, a time for wondering, a time for worshiping. These words by Sophia Lyon Foss remind us that children and the hope they bring into our world are at the heart of the holiday season, whatever holiday you may celebrate. Each night a child is born is truly a holy night and one to be celebrated with joy and love. We invite you to sing together the chorus from the Teal Hymnal, number 1016.
While
1061. That was close. And Dave and I will recite the verses.
Each night a child is born is a holy night, a time for singing, a time for wandering, a time for worshiping. Each night a child is born is a holy night.
For so the children come, and so they have been coming, always the same way they come, born of the seed of a man and a woman.
Each night a child is born is a holy night, a time for singing, a time for wandering, a time for worshiping. Each night a child is born is a
angels herald their beginnings. No prophets predict their future courses. No wise man see a star to show where to find the babe that will save mankind.
Each night a child is born is a holy night, a time for singing, a time for
each night a child is born is a holy night. Fathers and mothers sitting beside their children's cribs feel glory in the sight of a new life beginning. They ask, where and how will this new life end? Or will it ever end?
Each night a child is born is a singing, a time for wandering, a time for worshiping. Each night a child is born is a holy night.
Each night a child is born is a holy night, a time for singing, a time for wondering, a time for worshiping.
The year was 1914, and the world was at war. And yet, on a battlefield, this one particular night, a Christmas night, a miraculous thing occurred. The Germans were fighting, the French were fighting, the British were fighting. And as their battle lines were drawn, In the still of the night, from the French side, came the sound of silent night. And as they began to sing that song in French, a hush fell upon the battlefield that night. The Germans began to get out of their foxholes and put ribbons on trees that they could find. And the British soldiers rallied in an area between the battlefield called No Man's Land. And as the song continued to be sung, one by one, the soldiers left their fortresses and met in No Man's Land. And for one night, put aside their missions and reached out and celebrated together peace. Peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. And yet this story, as it happened several years ago, I think it has a real message to us today. That here for one day, people set aside and reached out and celebrated the joy of being with one another. When we think of the Christmas season that we're in, it's always a wonderful time. It's one of my favorite times of year. This year it's like a double favorite because we have Hanukkah. I think that what I remember most and what I like most about this time of year is that fact that for one day, it seems like we can stop and we can call family, call loved ones, gather people around us that mean something, and share that moment of peace, to celebrate peace. And I often wonder if we could, as we move into a new year that will be full of challenges and disappointments and other trials of our lives, if we could just find a way each day to celebrate peace, to reach out to those who are less fortunate, to reach out to those who we might not even know need a kind word or a kind gesture. For you see, this spirit of celebrating peace is something that we don't necessarily need to have just at the holiday time, but we can have each day in our lives. I'm reminded of a story that is actually about my mom, and something that I learned many years after the fact, and that was that in the neighborhood, she became known as the cookie lady. That was the fact that all the little youngsters in the neighborhood knew that if they rang the doorbell and my mom was there, that they could come in and they could get a cookie. And she would bake cookies all the time so that she had something to share with the little kids. And it wasn't until we were doing a celebration of her life that one of those little boys was actually now a big boy and had bought the house next door to my mom and had asked if he could say something. And he shared the story about how he always, whenever he was feeling saddened or downtrodden, that he would go next door to my mom, ring the doorbell, and with her smile and her way, she would give him a cookie. And I think about this story and how it's just some little simple thing that, you know, brought peace and joy to this child, that we also in our lives can do the simple things. I Several years ago, when I was working downtown in Cleveland, I made a kind of a habit for a 2 weeks period of time. I wanted to see how many people I could get to smile. Because, you know, people just keep walking and they're going someplace really important, which they think is, but actually realize that it really isn't. But I played this game. I had to had about a two-block walk, and so I would zero in on somebody and I'd smile and people would be looking down. But I was bound and determined, and you know, it became a game, but it also became something that was really, I got as much out of it, because when I usually could get one person at least to smile. And so when I got into the office, then it just started my day on such a good way. And so I just challenge you that you'll take this day, and as we look towards the new year and resolutions, is that you'll look for little things that you can do to bring peace to another. May it be so. Now, what we'd like to do is each of you were given one of these. And so, as Hal plays, just come up. You can speak in aloud what's on here. Elaine and I will show you, because Elaine will go first. And then light a candle. And this candle is basically representing a candle for peace.
From Elie Wiesel, peace is our gift to each other.
All things are connected. Whatever befalls the earth befalls the children of the earth.
From Luciano de Crescenzo, we are, each of us, angels with only one wing, and we can only fly by embracing one another.
This is Mahatma Gandhi. You must be the change in the world you wish to see.
Thomas Paine, the world is my country. To do good, my religion.
From the Dalai Lama, peace can only last where human rights are respected, where people are fed, where individuals are free.
From Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, someday, after we have mastered the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. Then, for the second time in the history of the world, man will have discovered fire.
When we see God in each other, we will be able to live together in peace. Mother Teresa.
This is from Albert Einstein. There lies before us, if we choose, continued progress in happiness, knowledge, and wisdom. Shall we instead choose death because we cannot forget our quarrels? We appeal as human beings to human beings. Remember your humanity and forget the rest.
I was a latecomer, so I didn't get one, but I just wanted to paraphrase a Buddhist quote that anger, holding on to anger, is like holding on to poison and hoping that it harms someone else when it will only harm you.
Peace is a daily, a weekly, a monthly process, gradually changing opinions, slowly eroding old barriers, quietly building new structures. John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
St. Francis of Assisi said, while you are proclaiming peace with your lips, be careful to have it even more fully in your heart.
Peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of creative alternatives for responding to conflict, alternatives to passive or aggressive responses, alternatives to violence. It was Dorothy Thompson.
To worship God is nothing other than to serve the people.
Okay, we were running late and didn't get one either, but use good search and made a penny for the church. you cannot find peace by avoiding life, Virginia Woolf.
When will our consciences grow so tender that we will act to prevent human misery rather than avenge it? Eleanor Roosevelt.
When the song of the angels is stilled.
When the star in the sky is gone.
When the kings and princes are home.
When the shepherds are back with their flocks.
The work of Christmas begins.
To find the lost.
To heal the broken.
To feed the hungry.
To release the prisoner.
To rebuild the nations.
To bring peace among the people.
And make music in the heart.
May it be so.